Nothing greater than God's presence. Nothing greater than being able to worship Him. Nothing greater. Everything is fulfilled in His presence. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're still here. We're still here and we're still fighting. Amen. Would you grab your swords for a moment and go to Genesis 2? Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Thank you, Lord. And let's speak it. Then the Lord God took the man who is Adam and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Now, remember, God did not need a gardener. Amen? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of the tree of the garden you may, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in a day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, you got to understand symbolically. The word tree means being. Spirit. Does everybody understand? In other words, there is another presence in the garden. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Why? Because God was training Adam to be in his, to fulfill the image and likeness of who God was. So he said, okay, you name them. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then a rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not what? Ashamed. Okay, in this we see that the man Adam, God placed, He placed Adam in a protected reality. Everyone say protected reality. So that nothing could harm him. But temptation would still be there. Again, God put him in a protected reality where nothing could harm him, but not temptation. Temptation was still there. It was used for training, in the training process. Why? Because God warned Adam not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because he was to partake in it, it would take him out of the protected reality. Is everybody with me? And he warned him about a false reality, being, in other words, a spirit or celestial being that was causing another reality. But But God allowed this to happen. Remember, Adam was now ruler of the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, and the Lord God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish and over the sea, over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God was training up Adam and Eve to become rulers. But he was allowing temptation still to be there. Created in the image of or reflection of God's likeness, to overcome temptation in a protected reality. To eat or to means to partake would remove them from the protected reality into a corrupt reality. Amen? Requiring a divine connection to overcome future layers of reality that would try to prevent them. Are you with me? To reaching the true reality of creation, who they are, what they were created for. So we are in a fight for true reality, real simple. I'm going to say this again. So God created man in his image, in an image of reflection of his likeness, to overcome temptation in a protected reality. And so that they would not partake of anything that would cause them to be removed from that protected reality. But they did, didn't they? Amen. And it would bring them into a corrupt reality, requiring a divine connection in the corrupt reality to overcome future layers of reality to reach the true reality of creation. Now, there are layers of reality. And Jesus explained that to us. In John 14. I love reality. I love reality teachings. Because this is the soul. I mean, we are all fighting for the true reality. We're fighting for truth. Everybody wants to know what the heck's going on. Amen? Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? That was my question since the moment I could remember before I got saved. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? And I got lied to every time. Until Jesus showed up. Then things changed. John 14. Is everybody there? That's good. Starting at verse 1. Glory. Fight for true reality. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where was he going? What was he talking about? Another reality. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to the Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those are three realities. No one comes to the Father except for through me. The fourth reality is eternal reality. So these are three layers that you and I go through. It's associated with the tabernacle, isn't it? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And then there's the outer court, holy place, most holy place. And then there's outer darkness, which is actually the world. Now, there's a spiritual outer darkness and a physical. The outer darkness is hell, and the physical is the earth. Anyone that does not is not living in the tabernacle is in outer darkness. Amen? So we're talking about four realities: the way, the truth, and the life. Every one of those, a representation of the tabernacle, has a veil in every one that has to be busted through. You and I have to go through those. It is a process of our training. We were in the outer darkness in the world. We were born again in the and saved in salvation in the outer court. Then we were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, holy place. And then we were trained and put into the most holy place as warriors. And when our mission is finished, we enter eternity, the fourth reality. 1 John chapter 2. So you got to remember that the enemy's goal is to prevent you from reaching the fourth reality. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. What is the world? Outer darkness. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does everybody get it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So these are the three things that bind individuals. The world is outer darkness. It's corrupt. It's deceptive. It's controlled by lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Whoa. And it says, verse 17, and the world is what? Passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Wow. Wow. So what is he saying? We must maintain that divine connection to overcome. What are the temptations? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Praise God. With that divine connection, we must submit and follow for direction. Submit to God. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, right? So the devil's always trying to tempt me and you through every area to prevent us from reaching the fourth reality, which is eternal life. So we were going through the process. All of this is training. Look, you were sent into this reality to be trained. Adam was created to be trained. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 7. Hallelujah. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. That what is heaven there? That is another reality, isn't it? Now, you got to remember something, that the angels are in the eternal reality. That's the fourth reality. Lucifer was removed from the fourth reality. He no longer can dwell there. He can't go there. He's in his own deceptive reality now. Verse 9. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And is he still deceiving the whole world? Yeah. And that's his great weapon, deception. And what does he use? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they did what? They overcame him. They overcame temptation. By what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they were able to deny themselves. deceives the devil, powers of darkness, deceive the whole world, is ruler of corruption, that's Satan, and the strong arm of deception. He's the ruler of corruption and is the strong arm of deception. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, let's speak it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What's the devil doing? He's putting people into what? False realities. He's tempting everyone. Didn't he tempt Jesus? That's why Jesus had to defeat him three times when Jesus got tempted. What was he overcoming? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Works of the devil is to prevent humans to reach the eternal true reality. It's the place where Daddy lives. John chapter 10. So even though you're doing all the right things and everything, can you be tempted? Yeah. That ain't going to stop until you boogie out of here. John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, think about this. Remember, we're being trained to go through a process of the three layers of reality. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. The enemy's trying to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to destroy everything that God's trying to do for us. Now, what's the first thing he comes to steal? Your identity. Once you compromise your identity, he knows that he can shut those other doors for you to go through the process of reality. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. More abundantly. Matthew 27. Verse 50. Oh, happy days. Are we there? Let's speak it. Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom, the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, coming out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Well, the veil of deception was destroyed by Jesus. Amen? Making way of escape from the corruptive slavery in the false realities that the enemy places. James chapter 4. Jesus paid the price. James chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let's speak it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Oh. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? He gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Now submitting to God means submitting to kingdom authority, all of it. Not just what you feel like. Amen. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. See, this is when people cannot submit to authority, they're full of pride. Now, there's something about that. Pride holds many captive in their minds, even though they escape the false reality. Amen? Why? Because their perception is different. See, the enemy can play with your perception of things. And you can believe that you're right no matter what. How many times have you thought you were right when you were wrong? Or that, you know, you did it already or whatever, you think you fulfilled the whatever, but you didn't. God has a divine order and purpose of everything. And he says, submit to kingdom authority. Well, so you can escape this deception. But pride brings people into captivity in their mind because it messes with their perception of things. It's always blaming others or associated with self, self, and me, myself, and I. That's why he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So when temptation comes, if you're not submitting to the things of God has already requested, you cannot resist the devil. I don't care what you do. You can fast, pray, do everything. You cannot resist him until you find and fall in divine order of submission. Amen? That's how you overcome. Because then God's with you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will move you to the next reality. Oh, glory. Again, pride holds many captive in their minds, even though they escape the false reality. Pride is corrupt. It's a corruptive characteristic. Submitting to all levels of kingdom authority is essential for me and you. You know, it's amazing to how many people go into a place and then they start laying hands on people without permission. It blows me away. I remember one day the Lord said to me, we were at a prayer meeting, he says, I want you to go lay hands on that person there. On that person's feet. Ask her if you can lay hands on her feet. But the person that was in charge, I went up to and I said, I didn't go up to him and tell him, God told me to do this. I went up to him and I said, would you mind if I went and laid my hands on this person's feet? And he said, I don't want you to. I said, okay. And I submitted and that was that. Well, that person ended up at my house on a Friday night prayer, intercessory prayer. And the Lord reminded me, he said, now I want you to go lay hands on that person's feet because I was in charge of the prayer meeting. And when I did, the manifestation of those demons came up and we cast out 30 demons from that person. My wife was there. That was our first experience. It was interesting. But again, why did I have the authority? Because I submitted to authority. You don't submit to authority, you don't have authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. In verse 3. Fight for true reality. Or you can fight for fourth reality. Either one, the level of fourth reality. Let's just keep it simple. Fight for true reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, let's speak it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, which is the physical realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Stronghold, which is a what? Memory lie. That's people that have been taken captive in their minds. Pride. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts himself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That means submit to resist, doesn't it? Stronghold, memory lies of deception, preventing crossover into a renewed reality. Second Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Oops. Let's speak it. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of what? They are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world, the outer darkness, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the what? Than the beginning. It means they're going to go through some stuff, man. Amen? Praise God. Slaves of corruption. 1 Corinthians 2. You know, you think about it. When you were out there using drugs and alcohol and everything, you were in a different reality. People that are involved in pornography and stuff, they're in a different reality. The Democratic Party is in a different reality, man. Totally different. The deep state is in a different reality. They're in a corruptive reality. Even though they think that they're in the true reality. Why? Because they're so full of pride that their perception is so far off. They think everything they're doing is right. They don't understand why you can't kill a child before it's born. They don't think it's wrong. They think it's wrong. They think it's okay for bribery. They can't do anything right. They got to do everything illegal and corrupt. That's the only way they win anything. They cheat. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. I think it's 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, I'm not in 2. Verse 9. Okay, I'm there now. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Listen, when you get revelation, it's because it's coming from the true reality. When Peter got revelation that Jesus was the Christ, it came from the Father, the eternal reality, the true reality. See, revelation comes from the other reality. Hallelujah. Deep things of God by his Spirit carries us through layers of deceptive realities. We're able to overcome them. Remember, it's like we're going through all kinds of stuff. Every day, anything you agree with can start creating another false reality if it's not of God. I mean, look at how many things that now they've got artificial AI stuff that, man, I'll tell you, they lie so stinking much. You know, I thought a person died and I was grieved. So that grieving brought me into a sorrowful reality. And then I come to find out they lied. Man, if I would have found out who did that, they would have entered a different reality. Anyways. Praise God. So deep things of God by his Spirit carries us through layers of deceptive realities. 2 Corinthians 13. And verse 5 and 6. What does it say? Is everybody there? Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Now, if you're in the faith, are you in the true reality? Yeah. So we need to examine ourselves of what reality we're in. Am I in the deceptive reality? Or am I in the true reality? Does everybody get it? Am I in the outer courts, holy place, or most holy place? Or am I in the outer darkness? Am I truly connected or unconnected or disconnected? Remember, the only way you're going to overcome the temptations, because God uses that for our training, he allows us to be tempted, doesn't he? Or else there'd be no temptation, would there? Born again, filled with the Spirit of God. It says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We carry the anointing. So we're able to overcome temptation, but it's used to train us. Hallelujah. Examine what reality you are in every single day, and sometimes every choice or decision. Am I making this decision out of the correct reality? Amen? Or am I making this decision out of a false reality that's going to cause problems? See, this is where you and I, when we're walking in that true reality, we're able to see things through. This decision I'm going to make, I'm going to see the end result. The decision I'm making, I'm going to see the end result. Before you make a decision, we should always see the end result. Amen? So many times people don't want to look at it because they know that the decision they're making is incorrect. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Falls. No temptation is overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. I'm going to close at James chapter 1, verse 12. Let's speak it, please. Blessed. What's the opposite of blessed? Cursed. Blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived. Amen? The fight for true reality, it's constant. It's before me and you all the time. Amen. Is everybody okay? Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the seed that has been imparted in us tonight would be protected by the blood of the Lamb, that will grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you would give us the wisdom to see things through and to fight for the true reality, that we make it home safely, knowing and overcome all temptations in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them, you got it. Or you're going to get it.